and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, thanks for that amazing introduction, and it's great to be with you today. I'm so looking forward to sharing a little bit more from the series, The Art of Producing a Banquet. Discipleship, The Art of Producing a Banquet, and it's going to be part three today, and there's going to be some more to come. I'm very excited about all that I want to share with you. Before I do that, if this is your first time that you've been watching us, you've been to our service online, a very, very warm welcome, and a welcome to all the regulars as well. Wherever you are, because we're from all over the place, there's people in Preston and Leyland and Chorley and Longridge and Wolplumpton and Barton and Catterall and Blackpool and Cleveleys and Lancaster and Morecambe and Carford and Halton to some Ingleton. We have the guys from Newcastle in South Shields and in Whitney Bay, and we have people from all over the country. There's people from Birmingham and London tuning in. I know some of you are tuning in from Africa, from South Africa and from Kenya, some in South America, some of our Brazilian friends and our Chilean friends, and I know there's even one or two from the subcontinent from India as well. I want to say a massive welcome to everybody this morning, wherever you are, wherever you've gathered from. You're most welcome to be part of what we're doing. Do you know, and I think about this often at this moment, I don't know about you, but I feel scattered. I feel away from you, I miss you, but we're still one church, we're still one family. We never need to be alone. We always have each other. We can pray for each other, we can encourage each other. I want to say thank you on behalf of Michelle and I and the whole family for all the gifts and encouragement that so many of you have sent us, texted us, emailed us over the last few weeks. We want to say we appreciate it so, so much. Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And it kind of sums up a bit how I feel about all of you on the other side of the camera. It says this: I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, I'm so grateful and I'm so believing that God's going to take you through this season, however it looks for you, and that God is, and we'll see each other physically and be with each other in heaven as well. Well, before I get into the main message, let's pray together. And Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross for us so that we can have a relationship with you, so that we could have heaven in our heart, we could have hope for the now and for the future. And Father, I pray for the next few minutes that we will just consider how we produce a great life that we can enjoy, others can enjoy, we can honor you with it, and other people can discover you through our lives and others enjoying it. Help us to just think through how we are great disciples, how we follow you really, really well. Father, we thank you that you believe in us and that you empower us as we keep our eyes fixed on you and trust in you. And Father, I pray for any who are listening to this who don't know you, through this part of the service or any part of the service, Father, we ask that you would connect with them and they would know that they're loved by you and they can have a relationship with you. And we pray for the miracle of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, so excited. Part three of discipleship, the art of producing a banquet. And the idea of this banquet is something that we can enjoy, as I said in the prayer, so that we live a life that we enjoy ourselves, that other people can enjoy with us, and that we honor God with it, and that other people can find Jesus through it. And it's made up of these four elements. It's a beautiful show. A banquet just looks great. And we as Christians are supposed to be ambassadors for Jesus, and in that sense, you know, look amazing and really show off what heaven's like to the world. After you've looked at it and you've tasted it, tastes great. That's amazing. And there's this idea that when we as Christians, both for ourselves and for other people, that when we meet people, we leave this taste in people's mouth of satisfaction. That was enjoyable. It's enjoyable to be with that person. A great banquet leaves you fulfilled. You feel satisfied at the end and you go, oh wow, that was a good meal. My stomach feels full. My heart feels happy. My head is pleased because I've had this banquet. And finally, a good banquet's nutritious. It leaves things with us that help us do life better. Is that not the call of every Christian, that we want for ourselves so that we can live better, but also that we want to help other people live better as well? Now, this is the idea of the banquet. And in week one, we looked at the fact that if we're going to produce great banquets, you need to ask right questions at the right time, before time, and if not, the right questions after events, so we can learn and grow and produce a better dish, a better plate in that situation next time round. In week two, we looked at the fact that it's God who designs the recipes. It's God who knows how we best work, the right answers to the questions that we have, how to cope with situations well. It's God who's got the recipes for those solutions. And then the end of the last one, I said there's four things about producing a great dish. You need great ingredients, which you want to have a look at today. You need great kitchen tools so that you can create something from your ingredients. You need to be a skilled chef or a skilled cook. You need to know what to do, and you'll learn and grow over time. And finally, you need to know how to cook it. You need to know when and what to do, whether to oven bake it or freeze it or fry it, whatever it is, to produce a great dish. And we need to, as it were, know what to do, when and at the right time. And today I want to look at the ingredients, the very first stage. So what are the ingredients that we need if we're going to be great disciples, if we're going to produce this great life for us and for others? What do we need? Well, a chef would also always consider two parts when it comes to ingredients. The first one is this. They would want great ingredients. They'd like the very best quality ingredients. And they would search out the best quality for whatever you want. Let's consider an egg. Eggs, you can buy all sorts of different eggs. In a shop, there's all sorts of different eggs. Some are kind of lesser quality and some are better quality. You know, you can buy a battery hen egg. They're cheap, they're cheerful, they do the job, but they kind of lack something. If you buy a free-range egg, and we've just bought some hens, and a lot of you know, we're looking forward to having grass-chewed, as it were, produced free-range eggs. Because they're free-range eggs. When you break it open, the yolk is yellow, it's rich, it tastes so much better than a battery-fed hen, which produces an egg. And you can put the same egg into the same mixture. Well, the different egg into the same mixture, and the result is radically different. If you put a free-range egg into a cake mixture, it tastes so much better. It's the same when we're disciples of Jesus, when we're following Jesus. If we're going to produce great dishes in a kind of our life choice in our situations, we need quality. We need to have quality information, quality ingredients to make great decisions. And if we can still, as it were, produce a dish that's okay, if we have some ingredients to make the dish, but if we're going to produce great dishes, we need great ingredients. And we as Christians are called, I believe, to dig out the great ingredients, the great truths, the great instructions, the great ways of doing things so that we can produce not just a dish, but a great dish. The other thing that a cook or a chef wants is that they'll always have lots of ingredients. They'll have quantity. They'll have enough for two or three dishes because, well, they don't want to run out. And if they make a mistake or their first go doesn't work, they want to be able to do it again so they can produce a great dish. And it's the same, I believe, for us as followers. We need a quantity of ingredients. We need a lot. We need to know all the mind of God. We need to need everything the Bible says about a certain situation or a certain decision we make. Because, well, not every decision, even to do with the same subject, is exactly the same because situations change. It's not like we every day, because we live in a broken world, face like it's a right decision or a wrong decision. Or there's a right way to tackle a situation or there's a bad way to tackle a situation. I mean, they occur, but they're easy. We're often faced with just kind of a whole stack of greys in the middle. It's kind of, well, is that better than that? And there's different consequences. We have to figure it out. And then we need the quantity of knowledge of the Bible, of knowledge what God would want, of the right recipe, as it were, with the right ingredients, the right amount of ingredients to apply to each situation or each question to get the best dish, the best outcome out of it. And so we as Christians need, as it were, to have quality and quantity of ingredients in our life. Now, it's about knowing the Bible, and it's about understanding God's heart and all those kind of things, which is a lifetime of study. I know that, it's a lifetime of study. But this morning, all day, I want to give you four things which I think will help you dig out the quality and the quantity of what the Bible has to offer so that we can actually produce great dishes. So the first one is this. Develop a humility of heart. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says these words. It says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." With humility comes wisdom. Wise people, they understand how little they know, how much more information and knowledge there is out there. They also realize that they have heard lots of knowledge and information, and they have forgotten it. And as a Christ follower, I think each one of us needs to understand that there's so much we don't know and so much that we need to know if we're going to develop ourselves and the people around us, if we're going to produce this great banquet I've been talking about. And in particular, they come to Scripture with a real understanding that this can teach them something. And they don't come with their own view or their own opinion. The very best of followers of Christ come to the Bible with an open heart and an open mind, with a humility that this can really teach them. They don't impose their views on their or their cultural values. They allow this book and God's word to impact their heart and their culture because they're humble. And we need to do that. And it's not always easy to come to Scripture and to read it and go, oh, that's what it says, because it will challenge us. It will challenge what we've been doing, the way that we've tackled situations, the way we've answered questions before. The recipes that God says and the ingredients in here will challenge us. And that's good, because it will help us to live a better life. I always think of this humility that Jesus showed just before he died. He knew that God knew best, that God had the best in mind for himself and for all of creation. And I just want to read a few verses in Luke 22, starting from verse 39, about Jesus' heart and attitude as he came to God and how he processed things. It's a very personal moment that Luke records for us. He says this: he was just about to be arrested. So he's just had the Last Supper and is about to be arrested before he's crucified. It says, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him." He went there to pray, to reach out to his God. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He then withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Take this thing that I'm going to have to go through and drink, as it were, away from me. Yet it says, not my will, your will." That's his humility. "God, I know you know best. I will bow to what you think. I will listen to you, and that's what I will do." And it says, "An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground," as he battled with what God would want and the humility that he wanted to have in his heart to follow God. And then when he rose from prayer, he went back and found the disciples. Humility in the heart. I want to encourage you to bow the knee, to bow the will. Let Jesus be your example. And if you will do that, it says in Revelation 1 that when the apostle John met Jesus, as he bowed the knee, actually Jesus lifted him up and helped him and supported. Heaven will come to your aid. Heaven will instruct you as you do that. Number one, develop humility of heart. Number two, rely on the power of God and the certainty that the Holy Spirit brings. If we're going to, as it were, get the quality and the quantity of ingredients for us to produce this banquet of life that we can enjoy and others can enjoy, we need to rely on God. We need to rely on his power that lives in us from when we decided to follow Jesus and then works through us, and also rely on the certainty that the Holy Spirit will give us if we hear the whispers of his Spirit into our heart and soul. Jesus was instructional, as it were, to his early disciples, that they needed to wait before they did anything to receive the power of God in their lives. It says in Luke 24, verse 45, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and he told them, 'This is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are going to be my witnesses to these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. So stay in this city, in Jerusalem, until you've been clothed with power from on high.'" And Jesus said, look, you need the power of God in your lives. He will reveal what you need to know when you are witnesses. And if we're going to know what we need to know in the situations to answer the question we have, we need the power of God in our lives to do that. But for more than that, we need it so that we can do what God wants us to. In Acts 2, we read the story of when the power of God fell on the early church. It says this. It's a great story, so I'll read it anyway. "Now, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them." And then it says in verse 14 this. "There was a whole lot of noise, lots of crowds gathered." And then it says this. "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you.'" Now that the power of God was in their heart and in their souls burning, they were now able to go and live the life that God had called them. And you do, and I do. And one of the key ingredients in our lives is the power of God and allowing God's power to work in us and through us. And if you would do that, he will reveal the ingredients of quality and quantity that you need in your life to create a dish that you can enjoy in life and others can enjoy as well. And one of the consequences of this, and I think this is one of the super gifts that God gives us as Christians, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this. It says, "I have written these things." John has written with three of his letters recorded in the Bible, and he must have written lots of them. It says, "I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son God, for you who are followers of Jesus," it says, "so that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life." And one of the key kind of facets of us really getting everything that God wants from us, really receiving all his ingredients, is to both live in the power of God and also to live in the certainty that we are his and heaven is our home. And I want to encourage you to open your heart each and every day to allow God's power to live in you and work through you in every part of your life. So number two, rely on the power of God and the certainty of the Holy Spirit. Number three, let's live in a great general culture. Let's live in a great general culture. If we're going to produce these great things, we need to make sure that we're living in a place that really, really helps us to walk into the future that I believe God wants to give each one of us and help, therefore, us give to other people as we honour him and help people find with him. And that's about having and living in a great culture. And some of the Christians, I think, miss the fact that the culture they live in, the friends that they have, the people they mix with, the community, which is their primary community they do life with, massively impacts their life. And the Bible encourages us, and I want to encourage us, to actually figure out great communities, great cultures that we can live in, and also to create a great culture at home that will help us to produce the great banquets, to get the great ingredients into our lives. I just want to mention a few things today, but there's lots of others about how within the Bible that can help us create this great general culture that we can live in. I want to suggest that we should be in a culture that's encouraging and positive and hope-filled. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says that we should encourage each other and build each other up. That's the kind of culture we're part of. We're surrounded by people that believe in you and know that you can achieve maybe even more than you believe in. It needs to be a culture that's prayer filled, where God is massively important. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, "Pray continually." And we need to both create in our own homes and make sure we're really plugged into connect groups, into our small groups or another church, into your small groups, into your church, into a community where God is important. Because as I said before, it's God's power and God's certainty in our life that's going to really help us in this. It should be a culture that's loving, forgiving, that's grace-filled, that longs to pour good things into our lives, that allows us to explore life in safety. You know, Jesus is always saying, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, let's love each other as God loves us. He's talking about let's love one another and create this grace-filled, forgiving atmosphere that really helps each one of us to flourish. But you also need things within this culture, things like discipline and determination and standing up for that which you would want to. Galatians 6 says, you know, stand. And when everything else is done, stand firm, be determined. The Bible talks about persevering and about being determined through the good seasons and through the bad seasons. And we need to create cultures around us that help us do the good season well and also do the difficult and bad seasons well in our lives. People around us, a community around us, a culture around us that can help us go forward. And also, I think a culture that is organized, but it's also free. It's organized, it's structured, but it also has freedom in it. So you can change what's going on. You can have the freedom. And it's fun-filled. And any of you that know me know that I believe every place where we walk, we should be making people smile and laugh and enjoy. Christians should be the happiest people on earth. They're just some thoughts. I think if we're going to really find these ingredients, we need to live in a great general culture in our lives. And fourthly, and the last thing I want to say is this, we need to create a focused thought life. We need to create a focused thought life. And creating focused thought lives, I don't think is very easy. I don't find it very easy. My mind wanders so easy onto all sorts of things. But the Bible says that we should try and capture every thought. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take capture every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If we're going to create this great banquet, these great dishes, one of the ingredients is just being focused in our thought life and capturing the thoughts and then doing with them what's appropriate. Either casting them away because they're not true or thinking on them because they're building us up. Philippians 4 verse 8 gives us a list of things that are good to think about, that we should fix our eyes on. It says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, don't entertain true things, not lies or misconceptions or gossip. Whatever is noble, whatever will lift you up, which is worth listening to. Whatever is right, as opposed to whatever is wrong. Whatever is pure, that which is faultless, that which is will help you go forward. Whatever is lovely, whichever's nice, it's just good. Think about those. You don't think about things that cause you pain and hurt. You don't think about those things. Think about those things that are lovely, that are nice. Whatever is admirable, whatever will help you achieve your future goals, which you got to admire that. That's something I'd really like to do. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And if we're going to get all these ingredients, one of the key things I think is it's actually taking hold of our mind and control of it. Well, I've spoken long enough. I hope I've given you some food to thought, some notes that you've taken down that you can go back and think. I hope and pray that God has spoken to you. One of my massive desires in this is that each one will produce a banquet that we can enjoy and others can enjoy, but also that some of you would encounter God for the first time. And I'm going to finish now with a prayer, and I'm going to hand on to Andy and Chrissy, who are going to lead those of you who would like, and for the rest of us, let's be praying, would like to perhaps begin a relationship with God today. Father, we thank you that your word is written simply and clearly to help each one of us produce something extraordinary for ourselves and for other people that will honor you. And God, I pray, as we go through this series and through these ideas of how to collect ingredients, God, help us to focus our mind. Father, help us to create great culture. Father, help us to rely on you and your power and your certainties. And Father, help us to be humble, that we may be open for you to teach us and lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.